Good morning. Everyone's awake? Yeah, thank you. My name is Ruthie Solari, and in addition to the introduction from Lucy, I do have a master's in integrative healthcare, and I've been working with the Public Health Department, Health and Human Services in San Diego to oversee their CX3 and their nutrition education programs through the SNAP grants that we've received from the state and federal. So what I'd like to share with you today is I founded a nonprofit 4 years ago to work with food banks in helping to go through the transformation into providing healthier foods. So this presentation is made on the assumption that we know that much of the food that is distributed through emergency food systems is low in, you know, nutritional quality, and I'll dive into that a little bit more, as well as share with you the approach we've taken in San Diego with two different food banks to create a resource manual that can help food banks go through this transformation. Oops. So we're going to talk a little bit about food insecurity and the correlation between obesity and preventable disease. Discuss how food banks currently obtain their food. Describe what the transition is from food bank to nutrition bank. Define a superfood for you, and then name. We emphasize really focusing on the non-perishables and what we're stocking in our pantry, as well as we'll do a little activity to create your own recipe at the end, which is fun. So as many of you probably know, I think the statistics today are 1 in 6 Americans are facing food insecurity. In San Diego County, food banks serve 480,000 individuals a month. And a lot of these individuals are elderly, military veterans, single parent with children. It's really important to debunk the myth of who's really accessing food assistance programs. And so I like to always share with those who are not as familiar, these are our neighbors who are really going to receive food assistance. So there's a clear correlation. As we've seen an increase with food insecurity over the years, we've also seen a huge increase with obesity, and those are kind of paradoxically, you know, correlated in the sense that when you think of food insecurity, you think of people being hungry, but we're seeing in America those who are overfed yet undernourished, so really lacking the nutrients that can help prevent disease and maintain health. This is a map of San Diego County. This shows the dark green shows the highest rates of diabetes hospitalizations in San Diego, and the red dots are food distribution sites. So as you can see here, there's a very high correlation between the parts of our county that are most food insecure and those who are being hospitalized for, you know, preventable diseases such as diabetes. So this was taken right from one of the boxes at our local food bank. This was back in 2010. But as you can see, these are some of the standard items that traditionally have been donated or procured by food banks. And we know that the food we eat either prevents disease or promotes disease. So our mantra, kind of the guiding principle of our efforts with this nutrition banking model, is that the opposite of being hungry isn't just full, it's healthy. So how do we move from food banking to nutrition banking? Well, it starts with small changes, and that's what the really important thing is, that we're not going to make this transition overnight. It's the small changes such as eating brown rice instead of white, or accessing black beans instead of refried with lard, having fruit that can be canned in its own juice instead of high fructose corn syrup. So these are the small changes that when individuals are eating these foods each day, this actually can make a lasting change on their health and well-being. So how do we actually impact the food bank itself? Well, first we need to understand the different sources of food. So based on the two food banks we've worked with in San Diego, which is Feeding America and San Diego Food Bank, we know that the main sources of food are produce, procurement, which is the food bank actually purchasing their own food, fresh rescue, which is donations from grocery stores as well as corporations, and food drives. So produce is already healthy. So what we decided to focus on is the procurement and the food drives. So how did we do that? Well, first, what we found to be really important is that we can't just go in and tell a food bank, you need to purchase foods at a specific nutrient level or higher. So we developed a work group and a committee within each of the food banks comprised of board members, clients they serve, staff, volunteers, as well as registered dietitians and nutritionists from the local community. And we started talking about what are the core values. So in addition to just filling empty stomachs, as you know, food banks have focused on in the past, what are really the values that are leading these efforts moving forward? And this work group developed a nutrition policy, and that was, you know, it was guided by the dietitians and the nutritionists to help create that policy. But that policy includes the core values that then impact things like purchasing guidelines. So now, whereas last year Feeding America San Diego purchased 1.8 million calories of sugar-sweetened beverages, no longer will they use procurement funds to actually purchase sugar-sweetened beverages, sodas, same with candy, same with many of the baked goods they used to purchase. So this, I really want to highlight, establishing purchasing guidelines for a food bank is a huge success, and this was really important to be created from the inside out and not just for someone to say, here's your guidelines, but really for the organization to own it. Next, I'm going to go back here. So food banks, also one of the food banks in particular, received more donations from corporations. And I use Pepsi as an example because food banks traditionally have measured a lot of their successes based on pounds delivered. And so as you can imagine, soda weighs a lot more than spinach or, you know, any many other foods. And so what was really important is that these companies, these corporations that have been donating truckloads, because when you're donating to food banks, it's not just a flat you're going to bring home from Costco. I mean, these are massive trucks full of food and many, many tons of pounds. So it was important to develop a communication plan to the corporations donating food. So what we did is with Pepsi, we talked to them. Pepsi owns Quaker. So we talked about slowly decreasing the ratio of the sugar-sweetened beverages they were putting on the flats and increasing the ratio of the whole grains and items that were actually health promoting. And that's actually, we've received good response from that so far because they're able to highlight in a good PR light what they're doing for the local community. So the second is, that's talking about the purchasing. Now I want to talk about the food drives. So food drives, it really depends. Food banks actually get a very, I don't know what happened to that graph at the bottom. Sorry about that. But I'll tell you what it says. I will translate that for you. So food banks get a very small percentage of their foods from food drives. However, food pantries, you know, your community resource centers, your churches and other places of worship, they can sometimes get up and around 90% of their food from food drives from the community. So it was really important to use food drives as an opportunity to collect healthy food. So we created a variety of tools, including easy shopping lists, so that if there's a grocery store that has a barrel out front, there's a rip-off shopping list that says, hey, you know, instead of donating that top ramen or the mac and cheese or whatever you would traditionally donate, here's some really healthy items, both to donate to the food pantry and for your own pantry. And it talks about a little blurb of, you know, why are these foods actually healthy? The graph at the bottom, which is available on our website, and I would recommend checking it out, but what it shows is actually a cost comparison chart. So I'm bummed it's not here, but that's the biggest resistance is, you know, when you try to tell someone to eat healthy, what are the two main things that come up are either I don't know how, it doesn't taste good, I'll say three, or it's more expensive. And more expensive, especially when you're talking about food insecure populations, is a really big barrier. So we, within a five-mile radius in around each of the neighborhoods we worked with, we actually collected all these different foods from the different, everything from 99-cent stores to Sprouts Markets, all these different stores, and show that the healthier foods are not more expensive. It's about knowing what to purchase. So for one of the examples that would have been on here is, for example, if you get those pre-sweetened bags of oatmeal, you know, your peaches and cream or whatever, well, the price per serving is much higher than a big container of rolled oats that you now go and make your own servings of. Same goes, so what we promote is really working with the whole foods our guiding principles are getting foods as close to the whole form as possible. So those are your whole grains, beans, nuts, seeds, legumes. Again, they're going to be shelf stable, but they're also going to be high in nutrient density. So now we've talked about how to help impact some of the sources that are coming into the food bank. Now we need to understand what does the food bank actually do with this food? Thank you. So there's a large warehouse that's stocked full of all these foods, and they distribute to four main sources, and that's four main destinations. That's the mobile food pantries, hunger relief sites such as soup kitchens or feeding areas, school backpacks, and food pantries or distribution sites. And I put the arrow from the food drive to the food pantries because many of those actually get their food. They don't have to go through the food bank. They actually just collect the food themselves. So we decided to focus on, for issues that were referenced by my colleague here, that around, you know, preparation in the soup kitchen, we didn't look at that for our first pilot. We primarily focused on how do we actually distribute the healthy foods through these three main avenues highlighted here. So we created a collaborative partnership with Feeding America and an organization called Leah's Pantry, as well as Superfood Drive. And what we provided, or what we created here for those distribution sites, is a way to provide training and resources for all the staff and volunteers who are working at all of these sites. So again, working with an empowerment model from the inside out. When the staff and volunteers have a basic nutrition understanding, they're more likely to be able to communicate this with the clients they're serving in the day-to-day. Then we have the nutrition education tools, including recipes, health easy shopping lists. Most of our recipes use five ingredients or less, so they're going to be affordable, accessible, and they're using the foods they're getting from the food pantry. And then this is the increased access to the healthier foods that are now in the food banks. Oops, so that's a little redundant there. So this is just, I know I'm almost out of time here, but what I'd like to highlight is it starts, you know, superfoods, I said this in a presentation yesterday, but they're not inaccessible foods that are more expensive for you. Superfoods are foods with a high nutrient density per calorie. So it's just educating, you know, thinking about how do we use food as medicine? What we put into our body, how does this actually promote disease and promote health and prevent disease? And these are minimally processed foods, if at all. So these are the types of things that we're sharing with the staff, the volunteers, and the clients we're working with. Here's some of the top 10 that we encourage to be in everyone's pantry, including our food assistance program. So whole grains, beans, oats, nuts and seeds. And as you can see, there's the therapeutic or the, you know, health benefits of each of these foods. And I used this in a presentation yesterday about senior feeding as well, because the reason we've focused on shelf-stable, we got a lot of feedback initially, why aren't we more focused on produce? Well, produce is incredibly important, and we're partnered with a lot of the organizations that do gleaning and source from local farmers. But it's also really important to have your core ingredients so that a healthy meal can be made at any time from what's in your pantry. So here's one example, you know, an oatmeal with some neat seeds and fruit to go along with it. And Marian Nessel, who's here at the conference, she's one of my mentors, and she said something at the World Nutrition Conference, small changes make a big difference. That's what turns food into medicine. And so that's one of our guiding principles with this approach. And so we do have a resource manual that will be complete in the spring 2013, and we're sharing that with Feeding America National, who has asked to learn from the pilot that we've done in San Diego to actually be able to now replicate this model with food banks and pantries throughout the U.S. So thank you.